The scripture today comes from Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
William turned on his microphone. And Jesus was led into the wilderness. And then by the same Holy Spirit, he was led back to his hometown, Nazareth. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And on that day, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." His first message in his hometown as he was beginning his public ministry was about why he came to be with us. His mission statement. And his mission statement was simply to be with hurting persons, to engage in the suffering in this world, to bring hope, healing, and wholeness of life. The Holy Spirit is the series we're on right now. And the message today is that the Holy Spirit engages us in suffering. It's a message we don't usually associate with the Holy Spirit, but hopefully after today we can and we will. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, was led to see persons as people of significant worth and value. One of the reasons that Jesus was able to be with people who suffered and who were in pain was because of the Holy Spirit helped him to see the sacredness of every single human being. I love his teaching in Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verse 29, when he talks about, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them ever falls to the ground, but that your heavenly Father doesn't see and know and care. Therefore, do not be afraid. Are you not of much more value than the sparrow?" The Holy Spirit helped Jesus prepare to be with persons who were in pain and who were suffering by, first of all, helping him to see persons as persons of significant worth and value, to see every person as being of sacred worth to God. And then something else that the Holy Spirit helped him to see. He not only saw persons of sacred worth, but he could see people in their need. In Matthew's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verse 36, it says that Jesus looked out and saw the multitudes, a whole lot of people. And he had compassion upon them. And I can imagine that the disciples were scratching their heads. We don't really get it. How can he have compassion for everybody, everywhere, at all times? And specifically on a day like today, it's been a long day and we're all tired. And he looks at the multitudes and has compassion for them. But if you read further, you'll see why. It says, because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had the capacity to see people in their need. And when we see people in their need, it elicits in us compassion. But we cannot feel what Jesus feels until we see what Jesus sees. And Jesus sees people in their need. The Holy Spirit prepared Jesus for his ministry, prepared him to see persons of sacred worth and value, to see them in their need. The Holy Spirit helped Jesus to fulfill his mission. And as you read about the ministry of Jesus, it's exactly what he did. It didn't matter who the person was, their race or religion. It didn't matter their economic background. It did not matter their social status. What mattered was that these were persons of sacred worth and value to God, and they were suffering. What mattered was that he could see them as sheep without a shepherd, and he was the good shepherd, sent that we might have life and life abundant. And so Jesus was always ministering, first of all, hope, and then also healing and wholeness of life. Well, the Holy Spirit does many, many, many things. In the book by Trevor Hudson, The Holy Spirit Here and Now, he actually lists 8 things. I'll lift them up very quickly. The Holy Spirit makes us aware to the presence of God in the here and now, loving us. That's powerful. The Holy Spirit leads us to a deeper shared life together in community. The Holy Spirit works inner transformation. The Holy Spirit transforms our hearts. The Holy Spirit leads us in our decision making. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. The Holy Spirit leads us into the desert to spend time alone with God. And then 8th, and the last chapter in his book, next to the last chapter in his book, the Holy Spirit engages us with suffering. I want to tell you that it's really not possible for us to do that apart from the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget the first time that I was to encounter a person who was, in pain, who was suffering. I was still in seminary. I hadn't had a lot of experience. I hadn't had hardly any experience being around people who were really, really suffering. But I was taking a course in hospital chaplaincy. I was very glad to get the nice white coat. I was very glad to get the little badge that said chaplain. I was very glad to be able to walk down the halls and people would say, "How you doing, Rev?" I'd say, "I'm doing great." And then one day, the nurse there at the head desk said, "You're with the program, hospital chaplaincy, and we're dividing people up and assigning them different persons to visit. And we were to think about those persons on our ward, those persons on our hall, who need to talk with someone, who need to be able to share their situation. And so I have someone for you to see." Before I went to see this particular lady, I was told that, first of all, she was poor and came from an economically challenged background. And she lived in a section in Durham, North Carolina, that was known for poverty and for a lot of violence in the neighborhood. But that was the first thing. The second thing was that she was a single mother. And the third thing was that she was diabetic. And then the fourth thing was that both her legs had just been amputated because of diabetes. And then the fifth thing was They weren't really sure whether she was going to make it. She'd been through so much. At that moment, the white coat, the badge, it didn't help me at all. I knew I needed to go in, and I knew her name, and I knew that I was to introduce myself. But beyond that, I was not prepared to be with someone suffering in pain. And I was scared to death. I don't remember exactly how I prayed. All I know is you can be sure that I said something, and it probably went something like this. I'm scared, Lord. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But I'm going to see this lady, and I can't do it by myself. Will you please be with me? Will you please be in me? Will you please guide what I say and what I do? In other words, right then and there, I learned that I could not do what was asked of me apart from the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you this, I learned so much from that first visit. I learned this, that the best thing we can ever do is merely to show up and to allow the Christ in us to minister to the Christ in them. But when I walked away from that visit, that lady had witnessed to me. I don't know if she saw the shape I was in or what, but she saw me and she said, "Lord, have mercy. They sent one of the best chaplains to see me today." I went, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be me. And she said, "Well, tell me about yourself. Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Durham, North Carolina." We talked about Durham. We talked about this, talked about that. And when I left, I realized that they knew what they were doing when they made assignments. They wanted to take it easy on us. They wanted us to get our feet wet. And they also knew that the persons that we see in need have so much to give us. And I received that day. I also learned something, that right after my visit, her next door neighbor came. Her next door neighbor went up to her and gave her a hug and a kiss on the forehead. And I had not even touched her. Well, needless to say, I've learned a lot since then. And if you're ever in the hospital, I will touch your hand. It's so important to know that the Holy Spirit engages us in the suffering of this world. Because we too, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are to fulfill this mission to bring hope and healing and wholeness of life to a broken world and to suffering people. Trevor Hudson, who wrote the book, The Holy Spirit in Here and Now, also wrote another book that we studied during the season of Lent a couple of years ago, A Mile in My Shoes. It was the Lenten study that we did. I remember how it came about. We were in a staff meeting. We're talking about the Lenten studies we could do. And, we had lots of good suggestions. And then Kim Chestnut said something in the staff meeting. She said, "You know, I heard one of the youth say something that I just can't get out of my mind." And what the youth told us was that they don't know if they've really been around poor people. They don't know if they've really been around people who hurt. They don't know if they've really been where people are in need. And she suggested that whatever we do during the season of Lent should help us to think about those persons and help us to connect with those persons and perhaps to go through the season of Lent and to learn how to be with these persons, to find out where persons are in our community, and to have some planned encounters and engagement with them. And it was out of that discussion that we chose the book, A Mile in My Shoes, and we had the small group. And not only did we read the book, but then all our small groups were asked to think about, where in the community could you link up with to have a planned time of being with people. Not necessarily to do anything for them, but simply to be with them. Trevor Hudson, in his book, A Mile in My Shoes, talks about they did that as a church-wide campaign many years ago. It was called A Pilgrimage of Pain and Hope. In South Africa, he realized that his predominantly middle-class, mainline denomination of white folks had not really had that much encounter with persons of other races. And there they were in South Africa during a time of unrest. And so they began to pray about what to do, and they divided the whole church up into small groups. They thought about the different places in the community where there were different needs, and people met to be a part of different ministries. And for an eight-day period of time, they had these visits. They were pilgrimages. They were times to be with people, to learn from people, not necessarily do anything to them, but to learn from them. And they would gather back and they would reflect. They would have worship together. They would share meals. And they would think about, you know, what our faith says about this. And in their thinking, then in reflection upon the scriptures, then they were informed about, as time went on, appropriate responses to these places of need. And over a longer period of time, out of that small little church, came a group of people connected to the neighborhoods, connected to the communities in significant ways of providing hope, healing, and wholeness of life to people. It's difficult for us to be with persons who are suffering. The Holy Spirit helps us, but we need to go slow. We need to have planned encounters, times just simply to be present and to learn. Here at this church, we can help you to do that. Colin Snyder is the pastor of Outreach Ministries. He and others on our staff can talk with you about how to do that. Many of you already have done that. You've been on mission trips. Appalachian Service Project is one of the greatest, I think, experiences for youth because they have that opportunity to be with persons in a different environment and to see them in their need and to have those brief encounters to reflect upon, but also to do things in response to what they see. But here at the church, that's what we're about. From the heart of Cary, we want to sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Cary. We had a staff retreat one day, and we had it down at the, we had it at the Matthews house. And Carl asked us to do something that was kind of different. He said, I don't know if it was 45 minutes or an hour or what, but he said, for the next segment of time, I want everybody to leave here, and I just want you to walk around town. I want you to walk down the streets. I want you to go observe the places and the people around the neighborhood of First United Methodist Church. I want you just to go look, observe, and come back and tell me what you saw. And when we did, I was going, well, shoot, I can just walk around and be back in 10 minutes, you know. But I said, well, again, I need to do this. So I walked around and, we came back and so we were kind of surprised about what we named and what we saw. And he said, that's the challenge of our church in the years ahead. As Cary revitalizes itself and goes through changes, we need to do the same thing. And we need to think about how we can reinvent ourselves as a church to be relevant to the downtown section, to the neighborhoods that we're a part of. And we need to begin to see our neighborhood as our neighborhood and our neighbors as our neighbors. That was very significant to me. I want to close out by saying this. I really have enjoyed reading Trevor Hudson's book, The Holy Spirit Here and Now. It's available through Upper Room Ministries. I highly recommend it to you. But the very last chapter that he has, he shares what I need. And I believe what you need. He says, our whole Christian life is a matter of these three things. Continuing to ask the Holy Spirit. to fill us. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you look at that Greek phrase, it means continue to be filled. Like a faucet that's on all the time. You're continuing to be filled. And so Trevor Hudson says, we need to ask, receive, and live by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. To continue to come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in my heart. Lead me, guide me, show me, empower me. I am afraid. But I'm asking you to help me be courageous. But not just to ask, but to receive. Hold your hands out when you pray. Hold your hands out when you pray. And be quiet. And receive. And then as best you can, and you only got to do it for one day, then live it. Live your faith. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do what's before you. Trust the Lord. And then the next day, it's the same thing all over again. Our Christian life is a matter of asking, receiving, and living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Close out this service today by inviting you to prayer. We'll help you to ask. We'll help you to receive. But you got to do the living. Let us stand.